Good morning.
When I was sitting over there and I was looking this way, it's hard to see everyone, but now I can see your smiling faces. It's always nice to be here. You know, I think the last time I was in this church, so probably over a year, or even maybe more than a year. But this year, or for next year, my son and I, we was this close to make a decision to come in and be members of this Pune church. But many of you know that we working with the Spanish church in the CONASAI, and I was sharing with my brothers here that what we're doing with the young people. We decide to work with adventure age, you know, between 8 and 11 or 12 years old. We started a really good program. You know, looking at what's happening in our churches, a lot of times we're losing all this youth. There's not too many youths in our churches anymore. And if it's not that many youths, I think sooner or later we're going to pay the price. So we decided to start working with that age. And the church gave us once a month, we have the whole program. And I start teaching them how to preach for about 15 minutes, it's most sermons. And let me tell you, it's been a blessing. These young boys, it's been preaching. You know, the first one that we invited them to preach, he was so nervous, like me. I was so nervous there, you know, standing up in front of the congregation. And he thought he didn't do a good job. But let me tell you, after he finished, he came to me and said, "Brother Martinez, can I do it again next month?" And next month, he did a terrific job. I tell you, they do the whole program. I only do the welcoming, and they do the whole thing. I hope one day you guys decide to do it in this church. That's the only way we can keep our young men involved in the congregation. I know that. My wife and I, one of the reasons we're still in church, that's because of the young people. When we became Seventh-day Adventists, we're young. We're only 17 years old with a son. And we came to the church, and let me tell you, the youth people, they embarrass us and they keep us part of their other family. And I never have I not even went through my mind to miss my friends outside because I have a big family in the church. And I got to say something this morning because it's still in my heart. It's still pumping every time I remember. I got to mention that. Are you okay, Brother Adonis, to say? Okay. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I, that was our anniversary. That was 40 years of marriage. So I was so happy that we've been 40 years together. And she's still beautiful lady, woman, my wife. I still love her a lot. We have two kids. You know, Fernando, you're going to hear him speaking in a few weeks. And I have a daughter. Fern is almost 40. My daughter is 27. So we're very blessed, you know, to be married for this long. Especially, you know, when we marry young. I think we meet when we are about 13 or 14 years old. And we've been together for this many years, and I've been so happy to have a wonderful wife and two beautiful children. So I have to make that announcement.
Praise the Lord.
You know, the reason I'm here, I hope I can provoke you this morning. My job is to provoke you. And I hope I can provoke you for the good thing. I don't know if you really realize how special you are in God's eyes. You know, I don't know if you realize that, but God loves you so much and loves me. And especially now, with all the things that happen around our world. The other day I was sharing something with Michael Flynn, Brother Michael Flynn. He was sharing something with me. I don't know if you see the newspaper about a few weeks ago. They say that what's happening in Kailua, I think Kailua, they say they're losing the front beach or the sand. The ocean is rising and there's a little bit of sand now. There's some of the signs that I think that's going to happen. There's a lot of things happening around. The other day, my wife and I, we're in Borders. And we're looking at this magazine about the economy. And right on the front of the magazine, they say, Christians with a question mark. Think Christian we blame for what's happening with the economy? So you can see their fingers has been pointed you know, to different directions. You can look, you can find the magazine. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we don't realize that there's happening in our own eyes. You know, all these things that's happened, things is going to happen so fast. Sooner or later, we're going to be facing trials. And if we're not ready, many of us, we're going to go back to the world. It's time for us to really spend time in God's Word. It's really time for us to take things seriously. There's no time to play around. There's no time to make a church like a social place to be. It's time to make a church a place to study, a place to really meet with God every time we come here. You know, I've been in the church for probably 30 years. And I see probably about three different generations. I say, you know, for, when I say generation, maybe three cycles of 10 years. I see young men after, you know, they're seven, now they're 17. And I see all these new groups. Some of these young men, they're married, they have kids. In these 30 years that I've been Seventh-day Adventist, I always start from day one that I became a Christian. I thought the more, every year they go by, I'm going to be closer and I'm going to be in better, closer to the Lord. That I think one day I can reflect His, you know, His kindness in me, that people can see it. Just looking at me, they can see, you know, this man is a man of God. And 30 years pass by, and I can ask you the question, do you see that in me? There's still, you should be seeing after 30 years walking with the Lord. Moses spent 40 days with God in the mountain, and when he came, his face that was shiny. Just 40 days, but 40 days talking with God. I've been almost 30 years. And I see all these churches for 30 years. And I said to say, but I think instead of they go up, I think we go down. It's spiritual. I used to, when I became Seventh Adventist, I used to live in close to San Diego area. We used to go to Tijuana across the border, and we used to attend the churches because those churches was in fire. You know, it was the first church and right on the border. That was the first church. And every time we go over there, we come back, we cross the border, you know, like, oh, we meet God. We can feel the love. We can feel the warmness right there. We come back, you know, to our churches. That church right there, I think now there's about 20 churches in Tijuana from that church. And the gospel was spreading down from north to south. Years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, you used to hear in the United States, you used to hear this, Mexico is on fire. You know, the new members, they just growing. Now you go back, and there's only talking about three states in Mexico. They're on fire. The rest of the northern Mexico, they're losing members. The spiritual is not the same. New generation is coming. Now they're spending more time with music. They don't open God's Word anymore. They get into this new about overhead projectors. So the people, they not even know how to find the verses in the Bible because they lose the practice of studying God's Word with their own eyes. And God can be talking to the individual person. Now they don't have to take a Bible because they can see in the overhead projectors. You know, when you start losing that, your relationship with the Lord, sometimes it's not the same. You depend on only one day to be fed, and that's not what God wants. I brought this map right here to show you what I mean when I say about Mexico. I'm not saying that this is happening here. I always hear a lot of good things about this church. And I'm so happy. You know, this is Mexico. Can you help me there? You see Mexico. I born right here, a place right there in Sonora, where my sister was saying Nogales. Nogales around right here. But I born right there. I think Charlie was living someplace here in California, in Calexico, Central. But, you know, before we used to cross here, and it used to be so spiritual. Now, if I have a color, I can point it to you how this influences from, I'm not sure from the Western, the new movements. It's been coming down here. Down, down, down. They say up to about right here. Now, there's only three states here. There's Oaxaca. The people that you see across the border, they sell all this and carry the babies here. That's from that state. And then Chiapas. Those are the last two states that right now there's not enough churches to keep all the members. They meet outside because they're in fire. But right here, they say they're having a hard time to keep membership in the churches. Because now they became, it's just like a social, not a spiritual. These people right here, you know, just to give an idea, the Pope, not this one, the last one, when he make a trip, they wanted to make a trip to Mexico. He wanted to come here to Chiapas. And the government said, don't come to the state, because he wanted to come on a Saturday. Don't come to the state because nobody's going to go to the airport to welcome you, because everybody's in the churches. Amen. That's how fast. There's whole towns that all, they, everybody in that town is Seventh-day Adventist. That's how the power of God is here. But you can see how long more before they get to reach up to here. That's how things are going this way. We here in the Pacific, think about it. We here in the Pacific, don't think that the Pacific is big enough that it's not going to reach us here. It so depends on you and I. What kind of relationship we have with the Lord? How much time we spend with Him? That's what we need. Time is short. The Lord is coming soon. There is no time to waste. This is the time, brothers and sisters, that we need to spend time in God's Word. Listen, we got to eat this book. We need to eat this book three times a day, not only one time in the week. We need to spend three times a day for you to be healthy, spiritually healthy. That way we're gonna go down to. And when the first trial is going to come, first thing we're going to say, like Peter, I don't know the man. Peter was walking with Jesus. He was walking with Jesus. And even the people, my brother and sister, even you and I, can we walk in with Jesus? And it's going to be a change in our life. But that doesn't mean that we convert to Jesus. We understand that He's the Lord, but there's going to be changes, because when that person saw Peter, they say, no, you could be one of them because you talk like Jesus. That was changes. The people see the difference. But I say, no, I want to prove you that I wasn't with Jesus. And then what, he started doing it? Swearing. So people, people can see changes in our lives when we're walking. But if God is not here or here, we're going to be living the double life. In church one, and outside another one. It's time. It's time to make a decision. There's no time to waste anymore. The older I get, the more concern I have for families now. You know, I see families with kids, and I say, I hope parents can really think really hard about their spiritual life. Because that's what I'm going to pastor their kids. If they see the parents that then spending time in other things, the kids are going to do the same thing. You know, the older I get, more concern for me to talk about parents. Give a good example to your kids. You may lose family members, you know, outside, that they think in you, since there's no fun to be there. That happened to my wife and I when we became Seventh-day Adventists. We have our son. Son was small. Well, we make a decision. You know, I just came out of the world. I don't want to take my son back and show him all the things that they're doing. It's nothing good over there. So my decision that my wife and I make in a really young age, we decide we're going to focus and raise our kid in his church. Our kid. My family wasn't too happy. My family, talking about my family, not my wife's family, they criticized me. They thinking that I was too hard, that I'm going to make a little girl instead of that a man with Fernie. He said, no, he not even let him play with his outside kids. But now, when I see the generation of my son's age, even my brothers and my sisters, they look back and say to us, wow, praise God for the son and your daughter. They didn't say that in the beginning. But one day they're going to see the difference. When they see their kids in drugs, when I see my nephews in jail, when I see that there are no future, now they look back and look, wow. You know, we should have just listened to what you were saying. There is still time for them. But who's got to make the decision first? It's the parents. I asked my mom many times, and I say, Mom, God has been calling you for over 30 years that I've been in church. And you know her response? I know, son, I know. But why don't you talk to your brothers and to sisters first? And I say, Mom, my brothers and my sisters are looking at you for you to make the first move. If you don't make the move, if you don't give a chance to the Lord, they're not going to do it. Because they're too close to you. Brothers and sisters, this is time. This is no time to play. And I'm gonna show you one verse. Brother Brian, read the 1 Peter 2:9. God said that we are special people. God set aside this church, and he make us a special people. Not just to come here and sit down and dress good and comb my hair and be nice. No. He make us a special people that he wants to use us to tell others about him. He wants for us to make a decision, a commitment to live the way God wants us to live. That way we can other people see, hey, you know, those people, they're different. You know, one time I used to, I don't know how many you know, but I used to run. I used to be an elite runner. I used to run a lot. I used to compete, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathon. I think my best time that was when I was in the 40s, but I used to run it all over. And one time I went to Mexico, my wife and I, and we went to this place, Mazatlan. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place, somewhat like this weather, right on the, it's beautiful. We went over there, and that Sunday morning, I went for my long run. I ran almost about 18 miles and 20. So I got off the hotel, and when I got at the hotel, I see this man on the distance running, another runner on the distance. So I went this way, and I see this man was coming. I went this way. And I was running, and once in a while, I look back and see how, but he was coming too fast. So I just keep running on my pace, and then keep looking, and he's getting closer to me. Finally, I can hear his steps. And when he got close to me, I reached my hand like this, and I said, buenos dias. I said, good morning. And he grabbed my hand. And he got with me and started talking. Then we would run for about 45 minutes together. And when we finished, he said, when we got to this place, he said, well, I'm finished. I already run my time. So I stopped and I was talking to him. And we're talking and talking. We spent about half an hour talking about, you know, just about running. Later, I realized that he was the number one master runner in Mexico. Master is over 40 years old. He was a good runner. Name is Felipe. But we talked, and the next, he said, you know, can we go breakfast? So even we went breakfast, and we run for 3 days together. The next day, he brought his other friend, he was a swimmer in an open ocean. He was a good swimmer, one of the best in Mexico swimmers, but in open ocean. He brought and introduced it to me. Tindison was, then we have to leave on a Friday because we always fly before Sabbath, so we want to be sure we're back in California before the Sabbath. So that Thursday night, he brought his, I told him where I was staying, and he brought his son to introduce it to me. I never talked to him about the Lord. I never say anything. But when he came, he brought his son, we're talking, we spent about an hour, and then when I say goodbye, I see tears in his eyes. And I can see that he wanted to say something, but I never shared with him about the Lord. I laughed. He left. The next morning, and early in the morning when we went to the airport, he was there waiting for me. And we have to wait for about an hour before we are born, and then he opened his heart. And he said, Enrique, you're different. You know, I've been running with you for those 3 days. You're different. It's got to be something in you. And then I say to him, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Why you didn't share anything with me? You know, now that you're living, why you didn't have, you know, we spent 3 days together. Why didn't you say something? And then he opened in a short time. He said, I'm going through a lot of problems right now in my family, my marriage. I'm going through all these things. My son is trying to take sizes. And I know that was something in you. That's why I invited my son to come with me and meet you. Why didn't you say something to me? Too short a time. We won it. So I keep in touch with him, but letters. Now, he was not only a runner. He was a businessman. He had a shoe store. So brand new shoes. So I keep writing to him. I think about a year later, my wife and I decided to go back. When I went back and looking for him, it was not say every time he come and look for me, I wasn't there. And every time I go to his store, I wasn't there until the last day. But he became with another person. Jehovah's Witness. We start talking. Now I start talking to him about the Sabbath. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And I got him, what is a Seventh-day Adventist? And we start talking a little bit, and the other person, they don't want him for me to say anything. But we start talking, and he said, oh, Enrique, I wish you should spend time with me more. From that day on, brothers and sisters, I don't miss the opportunity. I'm not going to preach to everybody I see on the street, but when I see that always God is going to open the opportunity, and that's when you have to say. Don't miss opportunity to share with somebody because that may be the last time you're going to see them. We are a special people, and God is going to bring those people in front of you. That way you can share to these persons about me. That's what God says. He's going to bring it to you. He wants for you to share this about how much God loves you and how much God loves them. We're in the last days. There is no time to waste. Don't waste any time. You can probably say to me, well, but I don't know how to speak. I don't know what to say. Don't say nothing. Just live the life of Jesus. But start first in your own house first. Start in your home. And then from home, bring it to church. And then from church, take it to the neighbor. Start in your own house first. Your kids, your son, your daughters, they need to see in you that you love the Lord. That when they face some problems and outside, they can come to you instead of they go someplace else. They need to see that. And when they come into church, they can unite with everybody else in the same message. So when somebody else comes here, a young man, an older person, they can feel this warmth and this home, and they say, you know what? There's no reason for me to go back. I'm going to stay here in this church. We are a special people. I always believe that God never makes a mistake. And that's what I think. God left the last church in Revelation 3:15. You know the name of the church? Why they don't say the first one? Why they always leave the church, the last church for our time? And look what they say. It's better for you to be what? Cold or hot. But don't be what? Don't be warm. God give you the same, they give it for us to make a decision. If you want to be cold in the world, enjoy it, because so you already know where you're going to go. You already know. Enjoy, at least enjoy the world. Whatever is outside, enjoy it. Because on the end of that one, that's what's going to happen. But at least you enjoy it. But if you want to be warm and, you're going to be hot in the spiritual with me, you're going to enjoy me. Live like me. Talk like me. Dress like me. Do everything. Enjoy it. Being in church. Enjoy being with your brothers and sisters. Be hot. But don't be warm, because that's the only time that I think the warm people make God sick. It's the only time that I see that God got sick. Because he said those warm people is going to what? It's going to get sick. It's going to vomit you. I thought that God never gets sick, but I see God. I hear some people sometimes saying, every time I see that person make me sick. Yeah, I see it. And when I read in Revelation 3:15, he said that God make people that have lived the two faces make God sick. There's no room for warmness. There's room for either one or the other. Either walk on the wider road or walk on the narrow road, but not in between, because in between, you're lost. You're not even enjoy the church. You're not even enjoy the world. So at the end of the day, you're lost anyway. It's true. Might as well enjoy one of the two. Make a decision. This is time to make decisions. This is time to make decisions. Joshua 24:15, he had to make a decision with his family. Brother Adonis say about this lesson, we're on the border. We are on the borders right now. It's time to make a decision. It's not tomorrow, it's today. It's make a decision today. Yahshua have to make a decision. The promised land was right there. He give, I'm not going to take you. Yahshua can say to these people, hey, I'm not going to force you to take you. You got to walk by yourself. You got to make a decision today. That's what Yahshua was saying. You want to serve the God that your parents serve over there? It's your decision. You want to stay over there? It's your decision. But the promised land that God promised is right here. We just got to cross the line. But you have to cross it on your own feet. I'm not going to carry you. It's your own decision. It's time to make a decision. Because Joshua say, whatever you decide is after you, but it's one thing I'm going to do. Me and my family, my wife, my kids, and me, we're going this way. You got to make a decision. This is time, my brothers and sisters. There's no tomorrow. This is today. You got to make a decision. Are you going to be cold or are you going to be hot? But if you're warm, you're wasting your time. Because on the end of the day, you already know. I'm glad that it's right in the scripture. It's not the pastor who's going to, we make Jesus sick when we're acting in two faces. Sometimes we want to enjoy a little bit over there, and then we're going to enjoy in church too. that's not the way it works. Either you with me, it's not what Jesus say. Either you with me, or what is the other part? Or you against me. Either with me or against me. It's not about, well, you know, you can be half, you know, when the time comes, you can make a decision. No, no, no. I have a lot of friends outside, my brothers and sisters. When I have friends. My mother-in-law was for, and some of the brothers from the church, for 7 years they was chasing me, trying to convince me to become a Seventh Adventist. And every time I run back to the war, I was going down. I was going down. I was getting more in trouble. I was going in jail. I was getting down. But I thought that I was okay. Because on the war eyes, hey, this guy is good. You know, he went to jail twice already this year. I'm thinking that I was good over there. So I was listening. Hey, he knows how to break the system. But my mother-in-law, no. She knows that I was going down. And one of these days, they're going to get a phone call and say, you know, Enrique is dead on the street someplace. But I thought I was doing right. No, my brother and sister. When I saw it and I became to this beautiful family, there's no room for me. I know what is there. I know what is there. You know, people say, oh, I'm in the church. I got too much problems. There's nothing problems. They're there. You don't have no problems because Jesus is with you. You know, some people say, you know, I always say in Spanish, hey, brother, how are you? Really good, brother. Huh? Yeah, Jesus is with me. What do I have to worry? I worry over there because the friends that you're thinking is your friend, they can turn around, turn you back and see what happened. Not with Jesus. Jesus is always with you. It's always with you. But it's time to make a decision. And I'm going to make a call. I'm going to ask my wife and my daughter-in-law and their kids to come over here. And my grandkid. And I want to appeal to your heart. Joshua 24:15 say, he say, my family and I, we make a decision. We're going to walk this way. We're going to serve the God, the true God. And I want to call you, I want to say, if any of you really want to make a commitment today, you can come and join me and my family here. Because today we're making that commitment again. We're going to serve the Lord. The Lord that saves me and the Lord that's going to take me to heaven. I'm going to serve them. If you're willing to serve God today, you can come and join me for that. We're going to have a prayer. No. Only God and you know what commitment you're making today. He knows. Not what everybody else. Only you and God knows. This is the commitment you make today. You're going to serve God, the true God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're going to thank you so much for being our God. Powerful God. A God that always there for us. A God that always cares for us. A God that loves us so much. Only you, Lord, knows the heart of every person here. But I ask you, Lord, to work in our lives. We want to be like you. We want to be with you, Lord. We love to be with you. Can you come soon, Lord? Things are happening so fast. We're going to be facing hard things. Please, Lord, be with our sons, our daughters. They may be still in the time of they're trying to make a decision. Help them to make the right decision. Some they're away from us, some they're not with us. Please, we're with them. We ask you, Lord, to keep it in your hands. And if there's anything around them that they're stopping to see you, remove it, Lord. Amen. We want for them to see you. Thank you for every family that we represent here this morning. Bless them. Bless this beautiful church. Bless the leaders. You know, Lord, we still make mistakes. We're not perfect, but you're going to help us to be better. But in our hearts, the leaders, we want the best for this congregation. Help the leaders of this church. Help their families. Help everyone, Lord, especially the pastor too of this congregation. What a responsibility he has. Help him to be a good pastor. And be with us, Lord, for the rest of this beautiful Sabbath. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.